Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
With the Cavaliers.
I want to talk about the situation.
It is a situation.
What's the situation?
The situation
they
is
won 64 games.
Yeah, you're going to make us really feel good. Like garbage.
They were knocked out of the second round of the playoffs.
Here we go. Ready?
No, this what are you talking about?
Spin the wheel, Jeff. Let's go.
We're not spinning the wheel.
I know you are. I know you.
I did look at both of these teams that have made the NBA finals.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, so there are 10 guys, you know, 5 from each team who are basically the starting 5.
That's normally how that works.
That's 10.
And you throw a couple officials out there, you got 12 people running around the floor.
The Cavaliers kind of went, nah, we're good.
What do you mean the Cavs passed on 5 of the 10 starters? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of. That said, the Cavs won 64 games. They've put together a really nice team, and they should be competitive for a good period of time to come. So, well done. But it's not like the Cavs really screwed up, but it's like, I wonder how this would have worked had they gone in this direction. And, you know, some of the guys who are here wouldn't be here now, and they wouldn't have won 64 games, but maybe they'd be a better team if they had made a couple of different decisions.
Oh, this is the worst kind of wheel of regret.
Or
guys you could have drafted.
Or maybe not. I didn't just say drafted.
Really excited for the auditory version
of the
30-gallon bucket of ice poured on my head.
It's worked out best the way they've done it.
But, well, obviously it hasn't because they're not in the NBA Finals, and these guys are.
Well, a couple of these are a stretch, but I'll just give them to you anyway. Because
right.
I just looked at the starters.
Good. We're working for depression now.
Well, I looked at the starters and I just thought, how were they acquired and, you know, where were the Cavs in this situation? So I'm going to kind of start from the bottom up. Okay.
Great.
One really tough physical guy for Oklahoma City, Lou Dort.
Oh, the Cavs could have had Lou Dort.
Well, everybody could have. He was an undrafted free agent in 2019.
The Dortmeister.
But the Cavs decided that Dylan Windler.
Lou Dort's really good.
He's really good. He's tough, physical. The Cavs decided to draft Dylan Windler at 26. Now, again, Dort wasn't even taken in the second round. And he was a young guy. I think he was at Arizona State for a year.
You know why they didn't take him? You know why
they took Dylan Windler at 26, and then they traded for Kevin Porter at 30.
It's not why.
So those two guys, though I think Kevin can play, Kevin has his things, they could have drafted Lou Dort and just said, hey, we're good. We'll take this.
Yeah, you know why they didn't, though?
What?
Done with Canadians. He's from Montreal.
If you remember.
They're done with Canadians. So Anthony Bennett messed everything up for any Canadian that ever wants to play for the Cavs again.
So if you remember in the 2020-2021 season,
yeah,
I was really, really happy when the Cavs brought in a guy for 16 games.
Oh.
And I thought, this guy, I've followed this guy. I like this guy.
Which pronunciation?
Isaiah Hartenstein, Stein, Isaiah. Cavs let him walk in free agency. And, you know, big guys are tough to come by. Now, he didn't go straight from the Cavs to Oklahoma City, but OKC signed him as a free agent this last year, and he averaged a double-double. 11.2 points, 10.7 rebounds, and he starts for a team in the NBA Finals. And
Dan,
the Cavs just let him walk.
Can't have nice things.
His picture is on the wheel of regret. You know how, like, they have the bonus on the wheel?
It's the one. Is it the bonus, or is it just smack dab in the middle and it just spins?
No. So what happens is like, you see Hartenstein's face, and then it lands there, and then you pick it up, and you find out you just won $1 million.
Now, remember,
on the Jeff Phelps Wheel of Regret,
this is the league
he is a top five all-time candidate in the Wheel of Regret.
This is there with old Moses, wherever Moses may be.
This is the league where everybody passes on everybody.
Sure.
But I thought, can I bring the NBA Finals home for all of us here in Cleveland?
Oh, good.
And I just thought, let me look.
Because losing in the second round wasn't enough of a swift kick.
Let me look at these lineups and see. It turns out half of them, the Cavs, of the starters, the Cavs went, we're good. On Andrew Nembhard was the 31st pick in the 2022 draft. And he's, of course, the really scrappy guard for the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Cavs took Uche Agbaji at 14 in that draft. And Nembhard went 31st. Agbaji, of course, traded to Utah in the Donovan Mitchell trade. So, you know, there were three guys, Lou Dort, Isaiah Hartenstein, and Andrew Nembhard.
There's three.
You want it?
Yeah, no, you got seven more, so, right?
There are two more. No, I've got two more.
Oh, five? I thought you had 10.
I said half of it. Half of the starters.
Who's having more fun than us?
Yeah, this is great.
You're not going to like this one at all.
Great.
In the 2020 draft, Cavs took Isaac Okoro with the 5th overall pick. And Tyrese Halliburton went 12 to Sacramento. So this is kind of a, really? The Cavs did all this scouting, and they determined that Isaac would have been a better NBA player than Tyrese Halliburton. Okay.
I got regret on that one. I can feel it. Okay. I
you
give
do?
You that one. That's 100% truthful. Yes.
Trending appropriately.
Yes. 100% trending appropriately.
And I'm just pointing out, and again, they won 64 games. They were really good, but they're trying to advance in the playoffs.
Can't have nice things.
And then, you know, we have, going back in order, the Cavs had Donovan Mitchell, right? I'll call him number three. I'm thinking of, I watched Austin Powers the other night, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was number one, Robert Wagner. Remember all that? Mm-hmm. And then they talked about a number two. I'll say Donovan was number three.
Okay.
Darius Garland was number two. But number one on the Kobe Altman, I love ball dominant shooting short guards, was Colin Sexton.
Stop it, Jeff.
Who was the 8th overall pick in 2018.
I love that one.
8th overall pick in 2018. Small, ball-dominant shooting guard. Going at number 11 to the Los Angeles Clippers was your NBA most valuable player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So the Cavaliers kind of went, we prefer Colin to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 6'6 out of Kentucky. We prefer Isaac Okoro to 6'5 Tyrese Halliburton coming out of Iowa State.
I'm going to give you
We prefer Uche Agbaji.
Would you like the baseball
to Andrew Nembhard, who
this
dropped,
is like,
dropped a ton, obviously. He went in the second round, actually, 31st. Isaiah Hartenstein was right here. Good physical, big man, and young guy. I like Isaiah. I did before he got here. 16 games, free agency. But he's a key member of those Thunder teams, and anybody could have had Lou Dort, and the Thunder smart enough to sign him.
So good for Lou, good for Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Like in, what was it, 08? Remember when the Phillies won the World Series with Charlie Manuel?
Yes.
Okay. Like, I was super excited for, like, Rudy Cianez and Chad Durbin. This is the equivalent. That's what I'm trying to equal it out for me.
This is a 50-gallon bucket of ice water that just gets dumped on your head to raise no cause whatsoever.
The one that
and
always
then there's some jerk with six others lined up waiting to dump them on top of your head.
The one that always stuck with me, and it has been with me for years, was the and I think Colin Sexton can play.
Oh, I forgot about Lou Marson too.
And the last one,
Colin can play, but so, Colin is a 6'1" ball dominant guard. Do we see a pattern here?
No, we and got then, Lou after.
And then the Cavs followed that after, up the next year by taking another 6'1 ball dominant guard in Darius Garland, who, by the way, was the best player on the board when they drafted. Don't make no mistake about it. They nailed that pick. But then you had two 6'1 ball dominant guards, and what did you do? You traded one for a 6'2 ball dominant guard in Donovan Mitchell, along with a lot of other things.
All right, so we're
but just in watching the finals.
He's also one of the 20 best players in basketball. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. Let's not forget that fact.
No, without question. But, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could have just solved that problem if you drafted him instead of Colin.
Yeah, why didn't we get him?
Why didn't we get him, Dan?
I don't know.
This Dan? One is like then you've already been hit with four 30-gallon buckets of ice water, and then you've decided on the last one to, like, just do the solid punch right to the gut.
This
causes
this
you to bend over, and then you just back like a truck of ice water on top.
All that said, this is the league where great players get passed over all the time by teams and multiple teams and everything else. And teams trade guys, sign guys, players move like absolute crazy. It's all a matter of finding a good fit. And clearly the Cavaliers have a good fit. But it's always fascinated me watching how teams get built and how teams might have passed up certain guys, regardless of the sport. I just think it's something interesting in sports to pay attention to. But I do find it interesting that the Cavs and other teams, but clearly the Cavs made a couple of drastic decisions, and right or wrong, I mean, you took Colin guard over Alexander guard. You took Isaac Okoro 6'5" over Tyrese Halliburton 6'5". Interesting.
Should
it's just interesting.
Group size?
Three, yes. two, one. All right. Can hang on, Sean's in Kent. Hi, Sean.
How does this bring you joy?
It doesn't.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Sean. Yeah.
Hey, Sean.
Has it occurred to anybody that maybe just Indiana is steamrolling everybody?
Yes!
Right now, no matter what?
Yes! Thank you! Thank you, Sean.
Somebody with a reality check. Sean in Kent.
I don't see anybody beating them in seven games. I just don't. I mean, OKC is super tough, but at this point, I don't see anyone beating them in seven games. I was kind of like down on the Cavs a little bit when we lost the series. But then
don't you feel better if the Pacers win and go, you know what? We just got flattened by a team that was so on fire that nobody had any hope against that team.
Fire.
They just had the magic touch.
Fire.
They just got hot at the right time.
Yes.
I mean, they got hot at the right time, and they're just killing everybody. And I think that we need to take that into consideration as an option here.
Sean,
as opposed to,
excellent phone call. Excellent. Friend of the show. Thank you, Sean.
I didn't say anything but the Cavs, except for the Cavs putting together a really terrific team, Andy. I just thought it was interesting to see that 5 of the 10 starters here in the NBA Finals were guys that the Cavs kind of passed up.
Well, our social media matches, which are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads or join us about as much as Andy and I are as yes. Matt chimes in saying, what an awful segment. Boy, I feel better.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Where's my
we
guy?
We agree completely.
My dentist, Dr. Brofman.
Just giving information. Just giving information.
Bartender, and I never in my life thought I'd need an off-season morphine drip, but here we are.
The hell is Colin Sexton anyway?
Mike in North Olmsted. Mike, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Hello, you're welcome.
Mike. I'd like your opinion on this, especially from Jeff, because he's close with the Cavs.
Yes.
Is Isaac Okoro, how much did he regress this year from last year offensively and even defensively, and then they end up signing him to that contract? Is he trade bait, you think?
Mike, thank you.
Mike, I would think that if you're looking to change the team a little bit, Isaac is a guy you could move. The question is, and this will go back to a team's going to have to like his specific skill set and bring him in to fit what they do. I don't think of Isaac as a very good offensive player. There's a reason the teams leave him open. And did he regress a little bit? Yeah, he probably did. He's great at driving to the basket. And he's really a strong player, and he's a solid defensive player. He's not the second coming of Gary Payton. But I would think if they move him, it would not hurt the Cavs very much.
Ron Darling next, Baskin and Phelps.
Should we do a group sigh?
Three, yes. Two, one.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I asked a lot of fans, are they rooting for the Pacers? Just on social media. And the reactions are either, there's a few yes. There are some people who are just like, I'm not watching anymore. I'm done. Because of what happened, or they just don't like the NBA. Somebody sent me that they are rooting for Connor McDavid because he played for the Erie Otters for 3 years. They're rooting for him. Erie Otters are the AHL.
I imagine that's a franchise. Hockey team.
Yes. I've been to their arena. It's really cool. But that's where I'm saying. So, I mean, that's where the fans are. I know. Does that... Have you gotten used to that sort of thing? Or does that bother you?
Yeah. I mean, look, the NFL's clear number one in this country. Then there's a huge, 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 huge gap for just about everything else. And the NBA and MLB have been battling out for number two. Although I've told you, like, college football is way ahead of both. But we don't really think about it in those terms because, mm-hmm. you know, they take up the same weekends as the NFL does. So, you know, there's always been this, basically my whole adult life, there's been a huge drop off. I just go back to when I was young, you know, going to basketball camps, and the NBA Finals was the biggest deal in the world. And that was, you know, at the end of the Jordan run into yeah. Hakeem Olajuwon. And then, you know, eventually it was the Lakers. It was always the biggest deal to me. So I'm so curious where people dropped off. Because if it was a big deal, you know, I know baseball dropped off for a lot of people just because of the built-in way that the sport was. Basketball, I mean, still watching guys play at the highest level, always meant something. Who were the best guy? Everybody picks up a basketball at some point in their life and throws it towards a hoop. Everybody's got, anybody with kids has a little Tykes hoop or whatever. And, you know, most warm-blooded young adults, males, you know, at some point are in a basketball court shooting around. And there obviously has been a drop-off. There, obviously, at some point, there's been a detachment with, you know, the NBA. And, it, you know, that never went away for me. I always was a huge NBA fan. So to see the guys playing, you know, under the spotlight where there's only two teams left, yeah, there will never be a time where I don't watch the NBA Finals.
It made me watching last night. It made me wonder, and apparently several other people wonder, is this just who we are? Because watching the Pacers come back from behind and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's fun to see a team that's an underdog go ahead and win, but you also think about your own basketball team and where they're going to be. Because Shams Charania had spoken about, you know, it seemed like the Knicks were ready to go, good to go. And I know they just made this move with Tom Thibodeau, but Shams Charania threw out something that was pretty wild that nearly happened in February.
There's going to be some level of change to this Knicks roster. Now, do you go for a landmark player? Do you try to look into Giannis Antetokounmpo? Do you look at Kevin Durant? There was some mutual interest between Kevin Durant and the Knicks at the trade deadline. The Knicks made an offer for Kevin Durant at the NBA trade deadline. Obviously, there was no Kevin Durant trade, but at the bare minimum, they're going to have to add some more depth. That's going to be a requirement of this team this offseason.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. I don't think people care about what the Knicks are doing, but that highlights if you want to get nuts, let's get nuts. Because you got 2 weeks or 3 weeks before you hit your second apron and you basically can't make a move. So you'll get past this finals, we'll settle down for a minute, and then you're talking about possibilities there. Now, one, I think Kevin Durant would probably retire before he came here. Two, I don't know how many fans actually would want Kevin Durant because I think they just see him trolling people on the internet and I don't think they're paying that close of attention to a 37, 38-year-old basketball player who's still quite good, by the way. And three, I mean, you have the whole situation there where the Suns are owned by the Ishbias and Dan Gilbert owns the Cleveland Cavaliers and those two families are like the Hatfields and McCoys when it comes to real estate. So you got three things working against you right there. But my thing is that it's either going to be a almost unrealistic trade. Almost unrealistic trade, but it can happen for a big name that I don't think people are going to want to believe, or an extremely unpopular trade for a Drew Holiday, an Alex Caruso, those type of players. You mentioned T.J. McConnell, those type of guys.
No, I just, they're not making a trade for those guys. Boy. It's the fact,
type of player.
It's the fact that everybody is convinced that you get a player that's not as good as Darius Garland in return, and people keep saying, well, why would that make you better? Well, because
those aren't just people, there's me.
I've tried to express this in every which way I can, is that the playoffs, I think, show what guys are way more valuable. Darius is a very valuable regular season player. He has not been a valuable player at all in the playoffs. Some of it his fault, some of it not. So at some point, I think we're going to have to come to grips with it. It's going to be really hard for the Cavs to improve if we're just going to sit here and say we need more talent in return. It's not about talent. That's not right now. I mean, you know, trying to talk to Owen about the play. You've never even heard of the guys on these two teams that all are very talented, all play a lot of defense, but they're not superstars. And Darius is a two-time All-Star, and he's young, so people think that, well, how are we going to get a guy more talented than that? Well, I think you could get a guy that's better in the playoffs than that. Either way, I do think the big mistake I'm hearing right now by the Cavs fans who say, stand pat, there's no reason to shake anything up. Look at the landscape, look at the Eastern Conference. To that I say, buckle up. Like, I do think this could be a crazy, crazy trade season. Instead of, we're used to free agency being a big deal in the NBA. You know, we've talked about that to death, how sometimes NBA free agency overshadows the entire league and can be really fun and can be the best free agency period in all of sports. But this year, that's not going to be the case. It's not going to be free agency. It's going to be trades.
Yeah.
There could be massive trades. And so the chessboard that we're looking at today, it's not going to be the chessboard, I think, come draft night. I think this is going to be a lot of trades. Well, and so to just sit here and say, well, the Cavs, talent-wise, right up there in the Eastern Conference, sure, that's not going to change. But the other teams that we are competing with are going to be aggressive, too.
Well, can you make it to, let me ask you this, then. Would you be open to something like Kevin Durant? Is that even pop? Not, and I'm not even talking about, like, aprons and things like that, make it salaries match. I want to know between the organizations, between the ownerships, would you be with the Suns? It feels like they would not be willing to deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers to me.
See, that I don't understand.
I think it's because of that audio I heard from Matt Ishbia.
I hear that,
that got out about him just ripping and wanting to go after Dan Gilbert and that whole thing.
So that's what I don't get. First of all, you have your GMs, you know, they're the ones doing the phone calls. And then yes, the owners have to sign off on any of the big ticket deals. So they have to sign off on it. But if Kobe Altman went to Dan Gilbert and said, I think we're fleecing them. I think this is huge for us. I think this takes us to another level. Like what, Dan Gilbert's not going to do that? Dan Gilbert's going to say, no, I don't like that guy. I have a rivalry with him. Who cares? Like if you think you're getting better by dealing with somebody else, even if it's a mortal enemy, by all means, you're going to do that.
But I think you're right. I think you are right about Dan Gilbert's end. Dan Gilbert has a means to an end where he wants to win another NBA championship. I think that there is a passion there again, a spark there again, where, and I think that there's a respect to LeBron and what he did, but I think he's definitely a guy, it's almost like Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, which that's a scary scenario to a lot of people, but hear me out. There's a desperation to win a championship without Jimmy Johnson, even though technically they did, but everybody gives Jimmy Johnson the credit because it was his players. I think there's that where he wants to win one without LeBron James because he was the player. But what situation are the Suns in? Can the Suns still be contenders if they let go of Kevin Durant in a trade?
They're in build mode. They're pivoting. Right?
Okay, so if they're pivoting and they know they're going to trade Kevin Durant, who is one of the great players in the league. I wouldn't put him in LeBron status or Steph Curry as far as icon, but he's a really, really, really great player. Why would you help out the Cavs? I have faith that Dan Gilbert would try to get Kobe Altman to make that sort of a deal and to be a blockbuster, big move. It would certainly sell tickets. He still sells out arenas on the road. Kevin Durant does. I have faith that the Cavs would try to do it. I have zero faith that Matt Ishbia and the Suns would do it. I think that he would walk down to it's James Jones, right? And would look at him and say, you can trade him to anybody but Cleveland.
Even if their front office thought that Garland could be given his own, given a reboot, given a new team, two-time All-Star, 25 years old.
It's a great argument you're making.
For 3 months, he was one of the best shooters in the NBA last year. He was clutch.
It's a great argument you're making because you're looking at it with sense. I'm looking at it with pettiness. I'm an emotional person. So I think they go, you can get a deal. You can get good young players from the New York Knicks. You can get good young players from the Boston Celtics or from the Milwaukee Bucks. You can try to do something like that. I don't know what good young players you can get from the Bucks, but I think that Matt Ishbia would say that. You can trade him to whatever team, the Clippers, whatever, any team that's trying to get over the hump, because you know that Dan Gilbert's trying to get over the hump. You make this move for Kevin Durant. If you bring in that name, it's like, okay, we're taking off the gloves. We're done patty caking around here. It's NBA Finals, or this thing is getting set on fire some way, somehow. You got to make this thing happen. Matt Ishbia would know that, and I don't think I have any faith that he would allow that to happen with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I this Finals run by the Pacers, I knew was going to make me nuts. And this morning, I'm like, yeah, maybe I would consider Kevin Durant. After the frustration of losing that series like that, maybe I would seriously consider Kevin Durant. Where back in April, there's no way I would have told you I was considering Kevin Durant. Here I am. I'm a desperate man.
Well, because in the end, you know you need guys that in tight spaces, tight windows, can hit shots.
Yes.
And they're not going to be bothered by length. They're not going to be bothered by athleticism. Like, say what you want about Kevin Durant, whether he's on the downside. He's still going to be able to hit shots. That dude's going to be able to do that at 60 years old.
The Knicks and the Cavs are in the same category. The Knicks, they've made their move before. They went after Karl Anthony Towns and got him. They're still looking to make moves. I want to make that type of move because if you're talking to me about the types of players you've talked about before with Drew Holiday or Kevin Durant, sorry, you know very well. You may be smart, but you know you're going to have to fight that all year next year because if it's an argument between Drew Holiday and Kevin Durant, that's no argument.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The NBA Finals, again, we said earlier today, it starts tomorrow. We'll see. I think everybody kind of has a Thunder and Five vibe going on. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, but what's funny is my friends in the desert have been counting out the Pacers in every series that they've played so far. So it kind of feels like...
Why start now?
Why
stop now?
Well, that might be the wrong idea, right? I mean, this is the most lopsided as far as the favorites going into it NBA Finals we've seen. So clearly people think this Thunder team, 68 wins, they've absolutely rolled through with the exception of the Denver series. They rolled through the postseason. People want to put this into the pantheon of great NBA teams of all time. I'm not there, but people want to, and I think that's helping out the spread, at least what my buddies in Vegas thinks about it.
There is a part of me that I want the Pacers to win, because
just for that reason
the
alone.
NBA crowned the Cavs about four times this year, and every time I had to be the guy that goes, they haven't won diddly squat yet. Don't crown them. Let them do it. Because one, it's a two-parter. One, you completely minimize how hard it is to win in the NBA if you crown somebody before they crown themselves. And two, When you minimize that, you lose all respect for the whole process. And oh, by the way, more teams get crowned and then failed than teams that get crowned and then crown themselves. So there's a part of me that the troll part of me, the person that wants chaos, wants Pacers to win this series big.
Or more about the idea that if this was happening to the Cavs, you'd be livid about it. I just know you well enough to know that if this same thing was happening where you entered, again, the series against Cleveland, against us, we were heavy favorites. Even into game five, we were favored in that game. Like, it's still in every way, in every individual game, not only the series to start off, but then every individual game, we were the favorite. And then you fast forward to the series after that, and the same thing happened in that Knicks series. And like, if I'm a Pacers fan, I'm just livid. It's Rodney Dangerfield. I can't get no respect around here.
But the NBA Finals is a great place to put on your thinking cap if you're not in the NBA Finals. And I think so much of the heart of every question we've asked, all the big guests, we had John Fanta on yesterday, we asked him, we've had Fedor on, we've had every big name, Joe Varden, all the big names you can imagine, we've had on, and we've asked this question, or asked some question that pulls to this answer. Is change necessary for the Cavs? But what we really mean is change necessary for the Cavs to make the finals?
Yeah, and I just don't know the way the NBA is set up right now that this is the time that you need to feel like you got to shake it up. Now, I want them to. I've been very about the idea that if a trade happens, go ahead and do it. But I'm also in the other side, maybe the devil on my shoulder is like, well, wait a second.
the East is pretty wide open. It doesn't feel like the way that this core four is set up, and even if the puzzles don't fit perfectly, do you need a perfectly fit puzzle to make it to the NBA Finals?
To make it to the Finals, no. To win the NBA Finals, yes.
And so maybe that's where there's a little bit of a push from Kobe Altman. Like, he's got to figure out what he has to do. Because if we're dividing it up, like, if you can make it to the NBA Finals without changing up anything, because you don't need to be perfect, but maybe to get past the Thunder or whoever comes out of the West, you'll need to. Like, are you happy if you're the Cavs, and you are looked at the same way the Pacers are going into this NBA Finals? If you're an Indiana fan,
you're just lucky to be there?
Not lucky to be there. An overwhelming underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you happy with that?
Well, to me, it's more...
If we fast forward next year, and that's the result, you are an overwhelming underdog, but you did make it to the Finals, would Kobe Altman have been proved right or wrong if he stands pat?
Does anybody want to be the Yankees from the World Series last year?
You got destroyed. There's no debating that, but you still are in the World Series. Like, I think there are some people that would...
Take just being there?
I'm going to use the word settle intentionally. Yes, there are people that would settle for that thinking.
I think to make the Finals, I think you can go along as this and just hope you get lucky. And you change around the pieces and the benches and we'll see, right? Well, let's see if you can alter 6 through 8 and then we'll go from there.
See, because that feels almost like you're like the Raptors up against that KD team where it was like, yes, we're just waiting for a KD injury and then a KD injury happened and now you're a world champion.
Yeah, but I think you're waiting for that just to get to the NBA Finals. Like, you're going to need a Jaylen Brown tears his ACL just to get to the NBA Finals as currently constructed. But if we talk about to win, guys, they don't fit together. And I don't know why. I actually do know why. We love the team. We love the guys. We watched Darius for 6 or 7 years now. He is a guy who plays hard. He plays with a heart. And he's got incredible skill.
We've invested a lot of time into this
team. Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell now. I mean, Donovan's a short timer compared to the core of this team. That being said, the number one thing that matters once you get past, like it used to be, do you have more talent than everyone else? That's the way the NBA operated for 20 years, 30 years, 40 damn years. And talent coagulated in these pools, and then came fit. The problem is the balance across the NBA. When I say the NBA, I'm talking about the top 12 teams of the NBA.
Right.
The balance is about as even as you can get, even with OKC looking like a potential super team. The balance is even as it's get, which all of a sudden that takes down the overall idea of talent, meaning just get a bunch of superstars and throw them out on the court together. And all of a sudden what rises is the importance of fit. And Donovan and Darius don't fit together. That's proven. Evan and Jarrett don't fit together. And then there's the bigger picture fit, which I've talked about, which is, do Darius Donovan and Evan fit together? Meaning, two ball dominant guards and a big who needs more touches.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's as clear as day. If you want to be more than a team that gets spanked in the second round of the playoffs, because they haven't been competitive, and I think that's important. If this was a 7-game series against Indiana, if last year, two straight, Gavin, it's game 7. Teams lose game 7s. It's a coin flip, right? I can lose that way. I can't lose in a 5-game set again like this. And that calls for change. That calls for hard change. And that can be tough. And by the way, you can screw it up probably easier than you can get it right. But this is what good organizations done. Boston has done the same thing. Now, they don't have a core four. Their core two has stayed intact. We might get to a point this offseason where their core two isn't intact anymore. Like, if you want... They've consistently
changed across the NBA. Seems like it's almost it's just a foregone conclusion at this point. It seems like all these teams are changing as often as they can.
But they've consistently rearranged the deck chairs around their best players, and with Love, Darius and Donovan are superfluous. There's just too much overlap there, and I hate it because I want to keep watching both of them. I love watching them, but if that's the choice you have to make. You want to keep watching Darius and Donovan together and Evan and Jarrett together, or do you want to win a championship? That's the choice. And if the Cavs are like, you know what, we sell a lot of tickets, we are really enjoying winning 64 games in regular season, NBA, then God bless you.
And if the NBA is starting to feel a little bit more like Major League Baseball, where it's like you punch your ticket in and you have a chance,
yeah,
then they're just going to look like it as we need some breaks and a good roll of the proverbial dice in order to make this thing work.
216-474-0092. Is change necessary for the Cavs to make the Finals? Maybe not. But change is necessary for the Cavs to win the Finals. And there's never been a better time to change than right now. Don't believe me? Watch the NBA Finals. Watch the NBA Finals and tell me this Cavs team can compete in that NBA Finals, and you're going to have your darn answer. Robert Horry in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Let's just look ahead a little bit here. Ron Darling, 120, is going to join us. He's calling the Guardians and Yankees game on TBS, so we're going to hear from him. All right, before we went to break, we were talking to our good friend Sam Amico from HoopsWire.com. You can listen to that interview on the Odyssey app if you missed any of it. Plus, we talked to Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com at 11 o'clock, so both those interviews are available. But ESPN's insiders had a massive trade that they were talking about when it involved the Cavaliers acquiring the number one pick.
But they also said this one's so unlikely to happen, but they were throwing out scenarios for a bunch of teams.
So let me throw out the big scenario here for future number. And again, when you say to get the number one pick, you're talking about Cooper Flagg, right? We're all on the same page. No questions asked. Good.
Oh, he's the guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So in this proposal, the Cavs would get the 2025 number one overall pick, and that would be Cooper Flagg. They would also get Javon Carter from the Bulls, Gabe Vincent from the Lakers, Maxi Kleber from the Lakers, P.J. Washington from the Mavs, Daniel Gifford from the Mavs. The Lakers would get Jared Allen. The Mavericks would get Donovan Mitchell.
Who?
Donovan Mitchell.
Who?
Yeah, like I said, Donovan Mitchell. 2031 first-round pick, a 2031 first-round pick, a 2028-30 pick swap with the Lakers. I mean, it gets kind
of... There's lots of stuff.
Yeah, the Bulls would end up with Dalton Knecht and Caleb Martin in there. Our second round pick. This is really convoluted.
So you're getting Cooper Flagg and you're giving up Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen.
Right.
But and you're getting a bunch of bit pieces to go along with
and it. And so maybe the bit pieces get your salary down, right? I don't know.
Gafford is an interesting player. I don't mind him as a big...
So I'm looking at this, and
you're not making that trade, Andy.
We're not making that
trade.
No,
the Cavs aren't making that
trade. Okay, so Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell for Cooper Flagg.
Basically.
And cap relief. Am I wrong?
Making that trade.
Nothing is intriguing to you about that?
No.
I think what Sam said is correct. Do you really want to go backwards from a team that had the best record in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, you'd be trading backwards if you do that. First team All-NBA guard in a legitimate starting big in the NBA for a guy who looks really intriguing and is a good defender. And the idea of Evan Mobley and Flagg together defensively, and I like Flagg at small forward. I think he takes care of an issue there. But what do you want to do? What do you want to build? And do you want to take a step back? You're going to count on a 20-year-old kid to 19-year-old kid to step in and lead you to the NBA Finals? I think their window is open right now.
So this would leave you, if you were the Cavs, you'd be essentially Garland, Mobley, Flagg.
That would be correct.
Yeah. Dan, does this do anything for you?
Not much. I don't like trading top 20 players in the league for rookies. Even if it's a rookie that I look at and go, okay, that guy has a really high ceiling. Like there's exceptions to every rule. Like would we all have done it for Victor Wembanyama? Probably. But Cooper Flagg's really good. He's not Victor Wembanyama.
I'm hard to argue with that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like this trade.
It's just something that ESPN put together.
So, but there were a lot of people talking about it. There's no question. They were like,
sure.
I think the headline was definitely a grabber. It was like Cavs get Cooper Flagg and deal. And you're like, huh, I got to read this, don't you? Definitely click.
Yeah, bait. But to do it, you give up Donovan and Jared Allen. Now, Jared Allen alone is not enough to get it done. But, that's a lot.
I also don't know what does this mean about the aprons and the cap. That's the whole thing.
And think about this. Would Dallas really want to pair Donovan Mitchell with Kyrie Irving? I mean, talk about two great talents. But there are two ball dominant guards in the backcourt. Is that the right mix? I don't know.
Bill is in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Bill.
Hey, you guys. How soon can we make that trade?
You want to make the deal, huh?
I'll drive pick him up this afternoon if they need me to do it.
Who? You got six guys you got to pick up in this deal.
You got a big van?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I'll get a minivan.
Okay.
The reason is they're not going to win a championship with either Garland or Mitchell. They're not. Neither one of them is a ball distributor. That's what we saw with Halliburton. Halliburton doesn't care if he scores 2 points or not. As long as he wants, if he gets 15 assists and he gets 2 points, he's happy. These two guys we have, they're good guys. Don't get me wrong.
Good players.
But they were broken by the AAU system, and these guys have to chuck it. They have it in their brain that they are shooters, and they're Garland is a shooter, but Mitchell is he's a chucker. And he's just going to shoot 20 times a game no matter what. And if he hits 6 or 10 or whatever, but they're not going to win with 2 6-foot-1 guys. Now, what you have to do with Flag, you have the basic, the foundation of an incredible team. And that is you got a guy his height and then Mobley, maybe two of the better big guys in the league. You have Hunter, who's not a bad player at all. Garland, he's okay, but again, he's going to be something that's going to get in the way a little bit. But further down the road, 3, 4, 5, they're not going to win now with what they got, but they can win with Flag, Mobley, and some other players placed around them that they would get in the next 3 to 5 years. I really do believe that.
Bill,
I like the idea of Cooper Flag. I don't like the idea of giving up Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell, especially Donovan, to get him.
Ryan is in Concord, New Hampshire. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hey, Meredith and gentlemen, just want to chime in. The previous caller, man, I've heard him before. He's very knowledgeable. Like his perspective, but Jeff, you kind of interrupted him saying, he says he likes those guys, they're good guys. And you all said they're good players, too. Don't forget that one. Again, I'm not excusing, obviously, the fact that we got bounced again in the second round. Embarrassing again for a nucleus that truly was just the focal point, was winning the whole darn thing and should have, because again, that is a team that was, wow, the greatest team that we've ever had, not player by player team, but just team effort mentality. And again, we just got tripped up, something occurred, hats off to Indiana. I digress on that, man. What I do know is I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I just feel that I know in yesteryears, obviously teams that were on the brink of winning it all, when the postseason happened, there was free agents out there that were in their 11th hour. Like, random example, Glenn Rice's or Mitch Richmond's joined the Lakers in the early 2000s. You get players for the lowest amount of money. And there's just players out there that are really want to win it all that have not, that'll come out of the woodworks. And we have to look into that first, in my opinion, before we start trading away our assets right now. Because the core four, I truly feel, should be intact. Hunter as well. And just, this is a great nucleus. And again, added pieces and parts, more veterans, somebody out there, man, that's right on the brink of retirement that wants to just win the whole darn thing or play for the league minimum. That is who we should eye on, because we can win this whole darn thing next year. And I think that's what our GM is eyeing for. I hope he is, at least. But anyway, guys, great show as always, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Rhino. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. He said something that I thought was, that was the best Cavs team of all time. Isn't that what he just said?
That's what he said.
Jeff?
I beg to differ.
I do,
okay.
Too. I mean, it's a matter of opinion, right? It's hard to look back and not say Jordy Nance Price. It's hard not to look at the Miracle team, too, and then wonder team-wise. I don't know. Do you have to throw out, does record hold all in that conversation?
Best team the Cavs ever had was the 2016 version that won an NBA championship. And to say anything else would be silly. However, I think there have been other good teams.
Is that because they won the championship, though? He said team. I think he was trying to say without one single individual effort. But with Kevin and Kyrie, I don't think that's fair. I think you're right, Jeff.
Truly, Andy, you win the championship. How's that not the best team? Right? Correct? No? Yes?
I mean,
LeBron was on the team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
It was the Supremes. It wasn't Diana Ross and the Supremes, even though it was LeBron James and the Cavaliers, but it wasn't. He had to have everybody else. LeBron has not won an NBA title every year, so they had a really good team.
You get your serious face on, too, because I just think the conversation is...
I could make the argument that the best team that they could have had was a team that got busted up when they traded Ron Harper. Brought in Danny. Maybe not.
I can see the argument.
That team, man, I loved the way that team played together, and I loved the fit that team had. That said, this team just won 64 games. They were dang good. Nobody could sit here and possibly say that that was not a good team this year. It was an incredibly good team this year. The question is, and this is where Kobe Altman's going to earn his money. It was an incredibly good team this year. Is that team, the way it's currently built, capable of getting out of the second round of the playoffs? Because they haven't done it 2 years in a row with two really good coaches.
The next question that comes out of my mouth here is, and I don't know if it should Donovan Mitchell's name even be uttered in any trade? I'm not getting rid of him for all that they've gone through on this. And
I know
the
somebody
draft picks who, that they've given up.
I know somebody who mentioned it once.
To trade him?
Yeah.
Are you looking in the mirror? Or what?
You know, I'm looking across the glass.
You trade him?
You pick up the phone, and on the other side is Jed Hoyer, and he goes, Danny boy, how are you? I'll give you Giannis. Start with Mitchell and let's build it. Done.
That's a different story right there, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, well, that's different. I just don't...
Yeah, but guess what? That's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, the whole talk when everybody was saying, oh, just trade Jarrett and Darius to Milwaukee for Giannis. Yeah, that wouldn't get it done. You throw Donovan Mitchell into a trade? Folks in Milwaukee might spend a little time on the phone with you.
Everybody has a price tag.
You know what I don't want to do? Donovan
Mitchell is one of the 20 best players in basketball. Easy peasy. 20 best players. Depending on where you want to rank them,
Giannis
there's
the
somewhere between 19 to 10 guys that you would take over Donovan Mitchell. And if one of those 19 to 10 guys is on the line, we'll have a conversation.
Yep. And that's
I just don't
and that's wanna, in a, that's in a wacky I, league where anybody and everybody gets traded.
I don't want to sit here a year from now playing Wheel of Regret, which is what you want to do in the next segment anyway. 216-474.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
0092. I smell Wheel of Regret coming. 216-474-0092. Baskin Phelps 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, you got a hurt thumb. You got a turn angle. And you not playing? I was just shocked. You got to look at that roster and be like, who on this team is going to step up and say, yo, no, you playing tonight? And I think that has to be Jared Allen because I think he's the most respected guy on the team because he just plays hard each and every night. And it ain't always a top dog like Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland. I think Jared Allen has to be that one that steps for a Max Strus and say, yo, we got to play. You hurt? You still got to play. And those guys sitting out, was it game two or game three? It hurt them because I thought the Cavaliers had the pedigree to win it all this year.
Here's Robert Horry. He was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. I mean, that's some strong stuff about what he said about the Cavs getting tougher. He was surprised that so many sat with injuries there. See, it's tough because, guys, I don't play basketball. So there's so many times, and I don't play professional football, I don't play professional baseball. It's hard for me to start the speculation of how hurt are you? How injured are you? You're right there in front of everybody wearing street clothes for crying out loud. It's got to be something where you know that people are chirping at him if things aren't going that well. And here's Robert Horry, a 7-time champion. I lost count how many times he's won championships for crying out loud. And you got Robert Horry on Afternoon Drive yesterday, which was a tremendous interview with those two guys. Hear that, 92.3thefan.com, saying that he was shocked that so many Cavs were sitting with injuries. I mean, kind of calling him out in so many ways. I don't mean to rehash that, but it was just such strong commentary. I had to play it for everybody because yesterday you and I turned the mentions off because I knew it was going to catch hell because I knew that people weren't going to get the context out of it. And I'm tired of looking for context on the internet. It's the wrong place to look for it. But there was a clip that was put out of you and I talking about, well, Tom Thibodeau has been let go. What does this mean for Kenny Atkinson? Is the clock already ticking on Kenny Atkinson? And I knew that people were going to overreact. I knew that was going to happen. And they did. How could you say this about the defending coach of the year? And I'm thinking, go ahead and look at the league. Go ahead and look at the league. Yeah, I can't get mad over people getting mad because you got to look at what this league is. These guys are waiting to be fired in the NBA. So I'm sorry if you had a problem with hearing about Kenny Atkinson's future after failing to make the Eastern Conference Finals, going to the same place J.B. Bickerstaff took the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, I know he was coach of the year. Does these things not seem to be hollow? After you fail to make the Eastern Conference Finals, you fail to meet expectations. Was he or was he not brought in to have them go further? I'm not trying to be mean about Kenny Atkinson. I like Kenny Atkinson, and I wish him very much well. He's the head coach of my basketball team. But I'm telling you right now, this is what this league is, and somebody will answer for it if they can't get any further next year.
Well, and good coaches. Nobody's saying Kenny Atkinson's not a really good coach. I thought what he did this year was incredible, and he gave me, the cynic of all cynics, he gave me reason to believe going into the postseason. Now, unfortunately, for myriad reasons, the postseason did not work out. It's what the Cavs, not only we're going to be talking about all offseason, the Cavs have to be struggling to understand the outcomes in the postseason, because I'm sure all their models that they constructed, all their analytical data, and then the eye test, well, they were just a different team in the playoffs. So it's having to come to grips with, why are we, with all these advantages that we thought we had, why could we not get further than five games into the second round? It had to be staggering for them, but it also forces you to I won't say necessarily make tough decisions, but it forces them to have some tough realities, because the organization does have to know this is three straight years that they have underperformed in the playoffs.
Yes.
And I don't even mean like second round. They were supposed to lose to Boston last year, but that Orlando series, that was underperforming.
Yeah.
Playing a team that had no playoff pedigree whatsoever, and that was not supposed to be seven games, and you picked your opponent. Go back the year before. Nobody had the Cavs losing to the Knicks. As much as I tried to warn people the Knicks were a very just opponent and they could challenge us, I did not think we were going to lose to the Knicks, and nobody. We took
you
calls.
Talking Pacers or Knicks?
The year before.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
saying
Knicks.
And we took calls and calls and calls, and people saying, oh, we're gonna easily dismantle the Knicks. So this
remember
has been
Lloyd before that series.
Yeah, this has been three straight years that has been the case. And so they have to figure that out. What is it? What are they missing? We know right after the season they talked about mental and physical toughness. There are people around the league that think the Cavs are soft. It just is. And there's nothing the Cavs can do this offseason to change that's how they're looked at. That's how they're perceived. And unfortunately, we have to wait another year. I mean, almost another 11 months to get back into the playoffs to end all these narratives that have been here for 3 years, unfortunately.
And the only thing you can do is just beat it into the ground and beat the dead horse as many times as you can until they get sick of it.
Well,
that's the only thing you can do. Because if it's going to be this team coming back, and as of right now, I have to think it is. We haven't even started the NBA Finals yet. Real quick, they haven't even started the NBA Finals yet. I know that people are throwing around some wild scenarios. I'm sure there will be more realistic scenarios right after the finals. But you have a short window in between the finals and July 1st where you need to make a decision on these things, especially with the money going up. And there will be a window and a very slim chance you can make moves. So if you keep this same team, which is still the most likely outcome to me, if you keep this same team, you're going to have to do something, because you just can't keep sitting out there and living off the good vibes and all the other stuff that happens. It goes right back to disappointment. But I want to replay this, not replay Robert Horry from the earlier comment. I want to play something that he said later on in the interview about what that Tom Thibodeau firing means for other NBA coaches.
I think the NBA doesn't allow the coaches to be as critical of players and more hands-on, because now, you know, players now are so sensitive. If you get on to them, they think you're being mean to them, and I want out or I want you fired. Sometimes they get it confused at me. Strong love is not love, and that hurts a lot of these coaches. You look at Thibodeau. I thought, you think about everywhere Tibbs went, he's been a winner. You know, he had the little run in with Jimmy Butler in Chicago, but he's still a winner. And, you know, he makes you toe the line. I think a coach makes you be responsible for yourself and your teammates. A lot of guys don't want to do that.
It's tremendous commentary from him. Again, 92.3thefan.com. I don't think Kenny Atkinson certainly isn't some heavy-handed type of disciplinarian coach or anything like that. I think that he expects guys to be responsible for themselves. He treats them as professionals. Maybe I have to look more from Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you go back to what Donovan Mitchell had said in the postseason press conference after it was all done and say, you guys are going to say that we're soft. You guys are going to write that we're soft and we're a disappointment. And he said in that commentary, he had said, you know, you really should because they have to bear that responsibility. I think he's talking to the media through it like, hey, these guys, they got to get tougher. And they're not going to be able to do what they need to do unless they are able to raise their expectations. Remember, I have no, the criticism that we've had has nothing to do with Donovan Mitchell in so many ways. We know Donovan's tough. We know Donovan does what he can. He uses every single ounce of 6'3 to be able to try to take this team further. I can't find myself as critical of Donovan Mitchell because he gets everything I expect out of him. I expect great performances. Do I expect greatest of all time performances? No. I don't find him to be a one percenter. I find him to be a great basketball player, and I think there is a difference. But he's going to need that help from those other guys, and I think he knows that in his heart of hearts. So Evan's going to have to grow up. And if we need to get Evan to take more shots, then damn it, Evan's going to have to slap the table and tell people that he's got to take more shots. And that means Darius is going to have to be forced to do something like that. And I know everybody loves Jared Allen. He's a fan favorite, but you're going to need something different out of Jared Allen. You are going to need to raise those expectations. Because I got former Cavs players coming on with us saying, quote, how he got his ass beat in the postseason. I didn't say it. Channing Frye said that. Channing Frye, NBA champion. I mean, these are former guys, champions, guys with rings saying this about you. You are going to have to step your game up.
Well, there's no doubt to me that was one of the big symptoms of a larger problem that in the final game of that series and really throughout the series that a banged up Darius Garland, who I do think gutted it out to play. I know people say toe, whatever. I mean, I saw him. He's falling over himself. He clearly was not the same player. And then it got into the mental side of things. Why was he still taking more shots than Evan Mobley? Who did the Pacers have that could defend Evan Mobley? They had nobody. And Evan was playing some bully ball and getting easy baskets, and yet they couldn't get him the ball. I think that's a bigger question about how they start to evolve this offense. If they're not going to change the core, then they have to start to change the way they play to get ready for the playoffs. And that means that the ball is in Darius and Donovan's hands a little bit less. Because as we know, in the playoffs, your small guards can only take you so far handling the basketball consistently. Eventually, your unicorn needs to take shots in tighter situations. That's where the playoffs are kind of won and lost.
1 hour from now, how good does Miles have to be worth $40 million? Jim Schwartz has an answer for that, and I'm going to expect one from Mary Kay coming up at 8:22 this morning. And people in the building are talking about Shedeur Sanders being the week one starter. That's in 20 minutes, but Lima has laid down the gauntlet. He wants it from you. Tell him why you're not watching the finals. If the challenge is out, tell Lima, as game one starts tonight, Indiana, Oklahoma City, why you are not going to watch tonight.
It's not quite my flu game, but I don't see how athletes go down with hamstring injuries. I don't. I've been dealing with this. I've had a hamstring issue all day. Keeps tweaking, and yet I just keep doing segment after segment.
Yeah, it's very brave of you.
Yeah.
Yesterday I battled through my elbow injury heard
you
around
did.
The world,
and that there was some blood.
I mean,
like one literal speck. It still
hasn't healed.
It looks like you can bleed at any moment.
You tell me what's going on with my elbow. I have no sympathy from anybody in the group at all, and so just like myself yesterday, I can appreciate the fact that you're playing through.
I think people are going to start calling us the toughest sports talk show in Cleveland.
That's the obvious progression.
Like,
there.
They play hurt, right? Now, if they see a dog get hit, they will go home immediately.
You'll go home. I'll still show up to work for that.
But hamstring, can't stop them.
So what happened? You just walking a lot?
I think so. And I don't know. I was walking up the steps or walking down the steps, coming back from the bathroom. And I was like, oh, am I about to have a Charlie horse in my hamstring? Which, all right, Charlie horses in your calves hurt so much worse.
Yeah.
But they're easy to work out. If your hamstring starts Charlie horsing, you're just dealing with it. You're just waiting till it stops. You're waiting till the tension goes away.
So what I've noticed in the past year or so, as I've now I bought like the Theragun, and I've really tried to figure this whole thing out.
Gone into the health and wellness.
Well, so I've hit that age, and now we're in that age in particular where our body really is. We're not old enough where we should acknowledge that it's starting to fail us. But I can, on a consistent basis, when I do things, I then have to worry about icing and afterwards, and then also doing the Theragun and taking care of it. And if I don't take care of it, it's an absolute disaster. And so like there's no like guide, you know, there's no like orientation for recognizing when your body is starting to fail you a little bit. But that's where we're at right now. I mean, you're close to 40, I'm 35, and so we're in that same window.
To distinguish it.
It's in that same window.
Such a chotch move.
I think that's the window.
You're close to 40.
Pew, 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 pew.
I'm 35
to 40, I think, is the window where that starts to happen.
Yeah.
So we're just getting aware of it.
Now I'm closer to breaking down than you. I'm gonna thankful you could point that out.
You also probably had like a 5-year head start on like learning how to manage it and work around it and figure it all out. This is brand new.
This is brand
new. It's brand new to me.
Way to polish a turd and backtrack
your
way.
I never thought I'd go play pickleball and feel like I got ran over by a truck afterwards, but here I am at the ripe age of 35.
So Julie, one of our sales folks, I saw she had been in a boot the other day. And so I finally saw her in person today and I was like, what's going on with the foot? And she's like, I rolled it in my backyard, and I was like, oh, that's tough. So it shouldn't be embarrassing. But I think the reference point is, if you told yourself at 21, hey, I just did this, would you respect the injury? And that's really the marker of where I am at almost 40.
Almost 40.
Which is a movie, or should be. But where it's like, there are so many things that happen on like I had a back spasm the other day and it just, I mean, I was down bad for like 5 minutes and it was like Lamaze. I was like, and at some point I was like, 21-year-old would kick you square in the biscuits for this.
Yeah. You have to like size up the injury and find out if it's worthy.
What was that look between you and Macaroni Bologna?
Well, I could see Matt getting ready to cut that one up and he was going to use that as anytime you got really excited. He plays the Lamaze Nick Wilson.
What was the judgment there? There was an inference. There was a look.
Why don't you do that sound again?
Not now. Not that I know. I don't live in the trust tree with an S.
And then we can figure out what that look was about.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
216-474-0092.
A lot of things I used to be able to convince people with. It's going to be fun.
How much do you respect me more because of my hamstring injury? You see that Kenny Atkinson has the second best odds to be the Knicks coach?
Yeah, where's this coming from?
Literally or?
No. not literally. I'm sure you got actual reputable sites that are putting that out there.
Just want to make sure. I didn't know how literal we were going to be today.
No, I didn't need to source that part out. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why is he leaving a team that just won 64 games and he's in year two?
So, okay, it kind of makes sense in the way that, well, he used to coach in New York. There had been some interest in him a bit ago. I can't remember when it was.
Did he buy a $7 million penthouse apartment that I'm not aware of and can't move it and is like, I might as well just take a job back in New York?
I think what's more wild to me is it's the second best odds. He's not like plus. It's like, you know, they'll usually put like a couple dumb ones on the, like plus 10,000, right?
Yeah, if you scroll down far enough, you can always find somebody, and it'd be like, oh, hey, Patrick Ewing's on the list. Okay.
Mike Malone's nowhere on the list. The long shots are like Jay Wright, and there's somebody else who's a very long, maybe it was Van Gundy. But so, like, if the second best odds means they got to know something, right?
Well,
are they fishing for dum-dums?
Is Johnny Bryant the first best odds?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, because I've heard a lot of chatter about that. That gained a lot of steam. The people in New York believe that there was a, by the assistant coaches, there was some sort of upheaval and basically they turned on Tibbs.
Oh.
And so part of the turning on Tibbs was that in their mind, they thought they could then get Johnny Bryant here, and here being New York in that frame. And then if you get Johnny there, then everyone gets to keep their job still.
Oh.
Because usually when you lose your head coach, the assistants lose their job, new head coach comes in, clean house, but the whole part of their big master plan that's apparently been dreamed up is they would force Tibbs out, get Johnny in there who spent 4 years in New York and spent a lot of time around those assistants, and then that would just be the route that they go.
I know teams don't think the same way we do, and this is no disrespect to Johnny, who clearly has a great relationship with Donovan Mitchell, not just Donovan, but with like a lot of guys. I mean, you mentioned about the players really like Johnny Bryant in New York as well. And
Brunson, apparently, like a lot of people put the development of Brunson on the feet of Bryant as if he was a major player in that regard.
But like at the same point, the whole point with Tibbs, and this it's the same thing with the Cavs a year ago. It's not that J.B. Bickerstaff isn't a good coach. It's you need a better than good coach to go where you want to go. I don't know how you suss that out of a first-time head coach, not currently on the staff, who hasn't been there for several years. I don't know how you suss that out and decide to hire Johnny Bryant over like a proven commodity in Tibbs.
I think the idea there, and this is just what like me trying to speculate a little bit, is that not only does he have the great relationship that we've already discussed and everything with that, but it's like if Ime Udoka got given the Boston job and instantly you were fine. Now, it turned out a little problematic for other reasons, but you can follow it up with Joe Mazzulla as well. Like you can be given the keys to a Ferrari and be a first-time head coach and still have success.
If the Knicks wanted to hire Kenny Atkinson, how do the Cavs respond?
Do we have to like hang up the phone? Do we have to like yell at people
slam
in response to hanging up the phone?
You?
Yeah, why do you even think you can call about Kenny Atkinson?
We're not that kind of organization.
I'm livid. I'm livid that the Knicks even think they can get him is part of the problem here.
Isn't that the Knicks though? The Knicks think they can get anyone.
They think they can get anybody.
And they can't, by the way.
Which, by the way, when they couldn't get Donovan, that didn't work out in the way that they wanted it to. And I think they have no chance of getting Kenny Atkinson. And why would Kenny Atkinson leave this situation? Unless he truly believed they weren't going to shake up any pieces of the core four. And he looked at it and said, well, this core four has got a ceiling and they've already hit it and they're not tough enough and they stink. And I just don't believe he thinks that way.
Well, if they say we'll give you a first round pick for him.
No. What do I need? What do I need a Knicks first round pick that if they stay at the same team they've been, will likely be somewhere in the 20s?
Because you have another asset to improve the roster.
I don't need a first round pick in the 20s for a head coach that I really believe
in. Well, no, but I think my point is hell, you got DeAndre Hunter for a couple of fourth rounders. You can get a really good role player. So you're telling me you wouldn't trade
the head coach for a role player?
You wouldn't trade like Kenny Atkinson for Aaron Nesmith?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Hold on. Nesmith is not really the same frame of reference that we were talking about with the first round pick.
Well, but no, we're talking about like trading a first round pick for a role player.
Yeah, I still don't think I do it. I think Atkinson brings enough to the table, and I think Atkinson is the right guy for this team. I don't think I would make that move.
So I probably would agree with you. Mike Malone being out there, and Mike used to actually coach here. I love me some Mike Malone. I still have a soft spot for James Borrego. Honestly, you could just turn the team over to Johnny Bryant. Like there's last year, it felt like you had a very narrow margins for what you could do.
This is a comeback down from the Kenny Atkinson lover over here.
Oh, we love Kenny Atkinson, but we don't love him more than a first round pick. And when you're trying to figure out how to spin this roster, I mean, you could take a Coro and a first round pick and get a truly meaningful player back inside that $10 million range. You could get Cam Whitmore potentially for that. And Cam Whitmore, I think, would be one of like a Nesmith type player here. Not a one-for-one. They're different players. My point is, young, affordable guy that can give you sincere quality minutes in the playoffs. Or minutes.
That too. No.
Especially that.
It's a non-starter for me. After year one and a massive actual improvement that we saw, I can't wave the white flag on Atkinson. That's not yet.
I don't think it's a white flag. I think it's just, like, how many times do people come along and offer you...
Well, so the conversation here, it basically stems down to how much of an impact do you believe an NBA head coach actually has on a team?
Versus like the impact of what you can get. It's not about the first round pick. It's about using that asset to improve your roster.
I mean, when we had Robert Horry on, I mean, that guy's going to tell you everything under the sun about really great coaching and how it impacts, because he's had arguably two of the best head coaches in the entire NBA to ever do it. He's played for them in Phil Jackson and obviously Popovich. I don't know why I was blanking on Popovich's name for a second there. But the point is, have we gotten to a spot in the NBA where we just don't believe in the head coach enough that we would say he's worth a potential role player?
Well, I mean, yes, in some degree, but also no. Yes and no.
Okay.
Because the Knicks would be willing to give it up for Kenny Atkinson in this hypothetical, and this is purely a hypothetical. I said, like, if they're just like, we'd like to talk to Kenny Atkinson, I'm going to tell you to get bent. But if they say, hey, if Kenny Atkinson wants to come here and we pay him, I mean, just millions of dollars, and we'll give you at least a first rounder or a first rounder in a couple seconds. Yeah, I'd like, you're an asset hungry team. That probably helps you. If there are comparable coaches out there, and I do think there are, between Borrego, specifically Mike Malone, who would be, an upgrade, one of the rare upgrades, or you can just sidestep and go to Johnny Bryant.
The only exception I would have in this hypothetical, again, it's a non-starter for me, I wouldn't do it. But if it was Atkinson that came to Coby Altman and was like, hey, listen, I want to get to New York, and this is how I want to have it happen, and then I've talked to the Knicks and back channels, and I want to see if you guys would be interested in such a thing, then I'd have to let him go. Because that would be him telling us and everyone that he doesn't believe enough in this Cavs roster.
216-474-0092. Purely a hypothetical, not something we expect to happen. But this is just a gauging of Kenny Atkinson's value. Kenny Atkinson has the second best odds to be the next head coach. If the Knicks wanted to hire Kenny Atkinson, is there a cost? Is there a trade cost that you would all of a sudden be open to trading him to the New York Knicks? And the clock that might be ticking on Kenny Atkinson on about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.